This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Rise. Wake up.
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
It really is. Halfway home here on a Tuesday in the beautiful Bay Area, downtown San Francisco. Joe Spadoni alongside Sam Lubman filling in for Joe Shasky all week long. He's already crushing it. The hair, it is real. It is spectacular. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you better be on YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, because we are streaming there, and you can see the beautiful mane that is Sam Lubman. And it's courtesy of First NorCal Credit Union for all your auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. It is cut day in the NFL today. You're going to be seeing Rapoport. You're going to be seeing Schefter. You're going to be seeing the Russinis, the Schultz, everyone talking about it, all the releasing, the waving, all these different players. You're going to be see some players signing. We already saw some stuff yesterday. Amari Cooper going to the Raiders. Then Jacoby Myers is like, I want to get traded. Then the Raiders were all over yesterday. Then they traded for Kenny Pickett. Obviously, the 49ers got Brian Robinson, who's going to be cut today in Santa Clara. We shall see, and we will relay that information. And if you just missed it, we are joined by Brian Baldinger. Last segment, Baldy Breakdowns. If you missed any of it, find it on the Odyssey app, which, again, free. Download it. Easy to use. Find all of our interviews there. Or, as I mentioned, YouTube. It's easy. Come on. It's 21st century, people.
Super easy.
Get on it. It's on the apps. If you don't have a phone, what are you doing? If you have a desktop, do that. Also, you can also hit us up, 888-957-9570. If you want to talk to us, we would appreciate it. The phone lines are open.
Yep. We want to hear from you. And again, we just heard from Baldy. He had some great stuff to say about Brock.
He really did. I love Baldy so much. He's just great energy.
He had some interesting points there. It's when guys get paid, they get judged differently. But I thought it was kind of just a couple of things he said that was pretty interesting was the quarterback has to make the receiver, which I read that as putting more responsibility on Brock. But then he also said the defense and the special teams need to help him out too, which I read that as, I don't want to say make an excuse for Brock, but I do think that takes some of the responsibility away from Brock Purdy. And we've been talking about Brock Purdy a lot this morning here on the Morning Roast. And I like to kind of know, like, 888-957-9570, that's the number to call or text. How are we grading Brock this year? How much are we putting on Brock this year? How much of the wins and losses are going to depend on what Brock Purdy does in any sort of game? Because there were times last year where guys didn't get their job done yet. There is still, a desire to blame Brock Purdy for certain losses and coming up short, even though maybe it wasn't his fault the Niners came up short. I'm kind of wondering if this year, it doesn't matter who comes up short this year, how much of that are we putting on Brock Purdy? Is there nuance into how we're grading Brock Purdy this year? or is it just a simple pass-fail grade? I want to hear from Niner fans on that in terms of just what their grading expectation is going to be like, so to speak, for Brock Purdy this year.
Well, Sam, you know this. Nuance is never fun for football. We don't.
Isn't
do
that
nuance.
What the N in NFL stands for?
It's not
the nuanced football league.
It's not the morning nuance. That's not what we do here. It's the morning roast. All right, you either suck or you're really good and you're great. There is no in between. This isn't the morning mediocrity. We don't want to do that around here. The morning nuance. No. All right.
That's not what we do. I think there is a little bit of nuance in society.
We can't have that in football, though. I'm telling you, it's not possible. I kept trying to tell everyone.
I think there was some nuance in what Baldy was saying about some of the other quarterbacks. I mean, Joe Burrow's had a great offensive season, but he has no defense helping him out. You know, Lamar Jackson, he's basically judged on whether or not he can get past Patrick Mahomes or not. There are lots of layers in terms of what we see from our quarterbacks.
He referenced those guys, but what did he always go back to? Wins or losses in the playoffs. Josh Allen has not been to a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson has not been to a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow has been to a Super Bowl, and I think he gets a lot of benefit because of that. And he had an incredible regular season last year. He's also dealt with some injuries. He's also playing for a franchise that's notoriously cheap as they get Trey Hendrickson back for $30 million as those two holdouts of the summer. Oh, Terry McLaurin. Oh, Trey Hendrickson. Oh, what do you know? 2 weeks left to go to the season, or less than 2 weeks. They sign. Yippee. I expect the same thing to happen with Juwan Jennings. I would actually
Any
be shocked.
Now.
I'd be shocked if Juwan Jennings was not a San Francisco 49er suiting up week one.
I'd be disappointed.
Against the Seattle Seahawks. But 888-957-9570, you threw out the question, how are we grading Brock Purdy this season? Is it simply a pass-fail scenario? As a lot of people are starting college these next few weeks, Sam. Is it a pass-fail? Did you ever take a pass-fail class, by the way? I don't think I ever did.
No.
All mine were graded.
All my grades had nuance to them.
Okay, there you go. Regraded on a curve at all, Sam.
There's a lot of nuance at the University of Miami.
There you go. The Hurricanes,
maybe not on
baby.
The football field. By the way, yeah, Miami, Notre Dame, woo. Anyway.
So I'm going to be grading Brock on, you know, whether or not the team looks good when he is the quarterback. Again, nuance. Does he look like he is in command? Is he following, as Baldy referenced, his instincts? The thing that's different with Brock, as I referenced those other quarterbacks, as Baldy referenced those other quarterbacks, you know, Brock has postseason success. So it's interesting how we view him, right? Most of these guys we look at, whether it's, you know, Justin Herbert, it's him stacking playoff wins. He doesn't have a playoff win yet. You know, Bo Nix, they're trying to, you know, both those teams, the Chargers and the Broncos, they're trying to overtake Patrick Mahomes in the AFC West this year. Is this the year the Chiefs take a step back in the division? They need to prove it. They haven't had big-time playoff wins. Now, Jim Harbaugh has, Sean Payton has, but those quarterbacks haven't yet. So we're going to judge them a little bit differently. That's why I kind of, you know, scoff a little bit when everyone keeps trying to shove Justin Herbert down my throat. I was like, well, what has he done? Quite frankly, at least Lamar's won playoff games. Josh Allen has won playoff games. Joe Burrow's won playoffs because he's been to a Super Bowl. What's Justin Herbert done? Miss me with that. At least Trevor Lawrence has a playoff win over Justin Herbert. We all like to crush Trevor Lawrence, even though he's been dealing with a dumpster fire of head coaches the last couple seasons. Urban Meyer, obviously, being the most dumpster fire head coach I've ever seen. Doug Peterson, now he's on his third guy, Liam Cohen. Duval.
I always
we'll
forget
see.
This guy's name.
Exactly.
Liam Cohen.
You,
know, thank
even, you,
for you
can even
it.
Pick him up at a line. If he was walking through San Francisco, you didn't know who he
He'd
was.
He'd be walking out, was like, hey, Duval. It's like, I don't know who you are. Get away from me.
But that's why I think it's so interesting how we're talking about Brock, because he instantly had postseason success.
And yet people are still, it feels like there's a heavy level of doubt on what he could accomplish. When Baldy says, you know, when we had him on, you know, the quarterback has to make the receivers. You know, he cited how Drew Brees threw a bunch of nobodies over the years. Tom Brady, there was
Chris Hogan.
You know, yeah. It literally
Danny Amendola.
Exactly.
Right? The list goes
Danny
on.
Woodhead.
Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Danny Woodhead.
That was such a fun name to
Jonas
say.
Jonas Gray until he got cut.
Oh, that was like one game. By the way, I had a friend of mine try to trade me Jonas Gray before that game, and I was like, I'm not listening to you. Come on. Yeah, that blew up in my face.
The greatest
trade
I had ever was I got Dalvin Cook, and I traded Darren Waller for him. It was me and Damon Bruce once upon a time.
Oh.
Led me all the way to the championship. Continue.
That's a pretty good one there. But yeah, when you hear, you know, Brock has to be the guy that elevates these receivers this year, You know, we're talking about the trust that we have versus in Kyle Shanahan versus Brock Purdy. Kyle Shanahan does have to call the plays and put them in the position to succeed. And yeah, there's going to be some times where Kyle just has a dud play call that doesn't work out. And you're screaming into the high heavens why Kyle Shanahan, the supposed genius, would make said call. That is inevitably going to happen. But when I tell you that it's on Brock Purdy to elevate the play of these wide receivers, does that inspire confidence in what, especially early on, in what, how tough this passing game is going to look, considering the absences you're going to have? Is that inspiring confidence in you when it's Brock Purdy, the quarterback, has to make these wide receivers shine, so to speak?
No, because I've seen what Kyle Shanahan can do with, like, an Emmanuel Sanders at the end of his career, for example, right? I've seen what he could do with, you know, a young Deebo Samuel, who was not a traditional, quote-unquote, wide receiver. And baked into all of this, Sam, and I'm glad you brought it up, you got your tight end, George Kittle, who, again,
I am including him in, yes, the receivers. Just like that, whenever I talk about the receivers, I am including George Kittle because I do see him as very much more of a receiver this year than a tight end.
And maybe he asked me, maybe that's going to be the transition. As you bring in Luke Farrell, a blocking tight end, maybe that eases up George Kittle so you can use him more in the passing game, because he was the best, if not the second best, and obviously he was second team All-Pro only to Brock Bowers, who I think a lot of people are drafting. It's 1A, 1B when it comes to fantasy football this year, and those tight ends, you still have one of the best in the business. So I do think we get lost in the sauce a little bit when we just stick, and I'm glad you did, like, to Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings, and when you get Ayuk back, you still have one of the best in the business.
That's that nuance.
And that matters.
That's that nuance I was telling you about.
And quite frankly, it's all going to come down to the run game. It always does with Kyle Shanahan. He's not going to retool his entire offense. He's not going to start all of a sudden turn into, you know, Mike Leach at Texas Tech. It's not going to be air raid. That's not happening here.
Brock raid.
You got Christian McCaffrey and you got Brian Robinson. And kind of my takeaway, though, quite frankly, Sam, was, didn't sound like Baldy was that high on Brian Robinson. Like, did you kind of get that sense too? Like, he did not he's like, yeah, he's solid.
Maybe that might have been my fault. I did ask if he could fill that Deebo role, and he kind of poo-pooed that, which I like. Honestly, I kind of want to follow him up on that, and maybe we can discuss this at a later time. He's saying no one's replacing that Deebo role because of how unique he was. Like, the Deebo role was such an important aspect of this 49ers offense. And
he's right.
I said yesterday, maybe Sky Moore has the speed to do those jet sweeps. Oh, I guess I was wrong there. Could Brian Robinson handle that responsibility? Nope. Guess that's not a kid. So I am kind of curious to see that without that Deebo Samuel kind of cheat code on this offense, how that's going to change things. Of course, last year, the Deebo Samuel cheat code was here and there missing. Having pneumonia might have been, you know, a part of that as well.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I'm kind of curious to see how that's, but he also seemed a little bit worried about McCaffrey too, in terms of the wear and tear.
Well,
there.
He's been on that. Yeah.
I did not know this since 2017. It's just him and Aaron Jones are the last running back standing, maybe Alvin Kamara as well. But Kamara, you know, he's on the downslide right here.
Aaron Jones, third round. He's
on the downslide right now. He's kind of like, at some point you just, the juice just runs out of your legs. You see, there's a little trepidation sensation there.
Oh, look at that.
Around McCaffrey potentially hitting that wall there. But those are all things going to impact Brock's performance as well. But if the game does come down to Brock Purdy needs to be the guy who wins it, because we're judging, you know, on this season, is it just going to be the raw wins and losses? But there are going to be times where it's like, Brock, nothing's going right. You got to go win this game.
Well,
are you feeling good in those situations there? And last year, when Brock was tasked with throwing the Niners back into this game, as I mentioned, he was 1-7. Now, some of those games, I think it's on not Brock Purdy. There were things going on around him that contributed to that. But I do think there are some other games. You know, that Vikings game, he did not have a good day there. That Cardinals game, no one really had a good day that day. That the infamous rainy night Thursday night game against the Rams with the Deebo drop, Brock was not very good. He was 2 of 9 when he dropped back on third down in that game.
That's including
the two sacks that he took there. The Dolphins game in Miami, Ricky Pearsall, I think, had every single illegal shift penalty you could possibly have. That set them back. I don't know if I would put that one on Brock. And then you got the Detroit game, which was the Niners Super Bowl, so to speak. He has a couple of late interceptions to Kirby Joseph there. That was a poor finish for Brock Purdy. You cannot give the Lions extra possessions, and he did that, and the defense was not able to answer. So there was a lot of games last year where Brock Purdy was asked, hey, we need you to throw the ball and throw us back into this game. And for one reason or another, it just did not come together. Hopefully that's a different situation this year.
This is what Baldy had to say with this last segment, 888-957-9570. We're talking about Brock Purdy and how we are grading him heading into the season. Is it simply pass-fail, wins and losses for Brock going forward? Or are you looking at more, Niner fans? Are you looking at the stats? Are you dissecting everything? Are you saying, is he the reason we are winning each game? Conversely, is he the reason that they lose the games going forward? I mean, it's funny how we talk about it. Because, and I promise I'll get to that sound, when it comes to Joe Burrow last year in the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, he was so freaking good. I'm pulling up his stats right now because it was one of the great seasons that we're never going to talk about again, so I have to talk about it. Almost 4,918 yards, 43 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 70% completion percentage, 108 passer rating. That was Joe Burrow last year. I don't think he cares that he did that. I don't think he cares because they didn't make the playoffs. I think that's what Brock cares about at this point. He had the taste of a Super Bowl and an NFC championship.
He was there for the taking.
His first two seasons, Sam, his first 2 years, he had the taste of an NFC championship and a Super Bowl. Those are his expectations. So, yeah, I guess the fans care about that and that's what they're going to do. I don't think Brock Purdy cares about the stats per se. And I love what Baldy had to say because everyone's trying to put him in this box about, oh, just don't lose the game, Brock. Don't lose the game. Baldy was saying, to hell with that. Trust your instincts. That's what makes you great, Brock. That's what made you so damn fun to watch. Your instincts. And I will say that. Brock has something you can't teach at a quarterback level. Elite instincts.
Mm-hmm.
That is something either you have
or you don't. I think it's his greatest asset, to be honest.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, not that he was trusting them too much last year. You can't trust your instincts too much. I just think that the team around him just wasn't good enough.
No.
It wasn't. And now, is it up to him to elevate those around him? Well, Baldy talked about that when it comes to the receiving core last segment.
Look, you lose Ayuk to start the season, then during the season, and all the stuff you're talking about. McCaffrey is out, had 50 carries last year. Ultimately, the quarterback has to make the receiving core. If you go back and you look at Drew Brees, he threw touchdown passes to over 70 different receivers. So Tom Brady. Now, that's over an extended period of time. But there's names that you will never even remember that Drew Brees threw winning touchdown passes to. So whoever's playing wide receiver for the 49ers, it's up to the quarterback to get him the ball and to make him, you know, part of, you know, whether it's Juwan Jennings or Pierce Hall, whoever it might be. Like, it's up to the quarterback to be able to put the ball in the right spot. The quarterback makes the receiving core, DeMarcus Robinson, whoever it might be. The quarterback makes the receiving core. It's not the other way around. And so it's up to Brock to be able to locate the open receiver, throw a guy open, thread the needle, you know, in a certain coverage in order to get the ball to the receiver.
See, what I'm kind of thinking about now is, as we're talking about how we're judging Brock Purdy, and a lot of it, and Baldy uses this in his examples, and we always do this. We always compare him to the best. And I just did. The Joe Burrows of the world, the Josh Allens, the Lamar Jacksons. Like, should we be comparing Brock Purdy to other quarterbacks? Or should we just be comparing him to, I don't know, the previous quarterbacks here? Like, who is the comparison for Brock Purdy right now? I know who we compare Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson to. They're always trying to get to Mahomes' level. Those guys are trying to reach for Mahomes. So when you guys tell me that, like, you know, maybe we shouldn't be comparing him to those guys because he's not those guys. Well, Baldy's comparing him to Joe Burrow. So if Baldy can use that comparison, why can't we? Who are we comparing Brock Purdy
to, Sam?
Well,
I think we say comparing. I think we assume that by comparing, we mean, like, Brock Purdy needs to be as much like Josh Allen as Josh Allen is like Josh Allen. When, in that sense, no, I think that's an unfair comparison because it's just like comparing Josh Allen to Lamar Jackson. Like, they're just the way those guys play and win football games is just so very different. Lamar is going to be able to use his legs a lot more than Josh Allen. Lamar is going to be basically a quarterback who can run a lot more than Josh Allen. So that's where I think the comparisons, I think, don't work out.
Well, real quick on that, I'm going to let you finish, but I'm jumping in here, and it's important because this article you keep referencing, Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated, when he talked with John Lynch, this is John Lynch's quote, you know, Buffalo, and this is talking about rebuilding and doing it through the draft, Buffalo, obviously, it helps when you've got Josh Allen. But hey, We've got Brock.
What if the comparison...
That's a comparison right
what
there.
If the, what kind of comparison is it?
I'm
is
asking.
The comparison of, well, Josh and Brock could throw the ball the same way? I don't think that's accurate. Is the comparison then the feeling you get when they walk onto the field? When you're the Buffalo Bills and you know that, man, our receiving core, it's taken some hits. You know, our trusted options are gone. It's Keon Coleman and who knows what. James Cook, is he at a shoulder load? All those concerns are, you know, assuaged when Josh Allen walks onto the field. Because at the end of the day, in Josh we trust. If Josh is on the field, one way or another, this team will figure out a way to win the game. Maybe he has to throw the ball a lot. Maybe he has to run the ball a lot. Maybe the defense has to pick him up a little bit, and that's how they have to win. But when Josh Allen is on the field, there is a feeling within that team that, oh, we got this. Is the comparison so easy to make in that Brock inspires that same feeling within this team too? When Brock gets into that huddle, everyone in that huddle is like, you know what? We got number 13 here leading the way. I'm feeling really good. When he walks onto that field, doesn't matter if it's Ricky at wide receiver one, doesn't matter if it's DeMarcus Robinson at wide receiver number one. Are you feeling good as a 49er fan that Brock Purdy is going to take what he has and whip it into something magical? That, I think, is the comparison. It's not a skill set. It's not a statistical comparison. It's simply all about, do you trust this guy to put this team in a situation to win? And maybe that kind of goes into, we talk about the pass-fail grade here. That's where it is about, you know, did they win the game or not? And there's certain situations where, you know, just when I always say, the ugly wins count too. If Brock has to win some ugly games, great quarterbacks find ways to win ugly games. Maybe Brock's just having a poo-poo game the first three quarters, puts it all together at the end, and they win.
Divisional game against the Packers.
You beat me to it by 1 second there. So we've seen that Brock has the ability to do that. Is that not enough for 49er fans to be like, you know what? Brock may not be Josh Allen in terms of just what he can do on the field physically, but he can be Josh Allen in what he means on the field when he steps on it in the end result that gets generated.
888-957-9570 is the number to get involved. Call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Here's more from Baldy talking about the thing that can help Brock the most this year is actually the turnovers.
You know, the thing that would help Brock Purdy more than anything is if the defense could actually take the ball away. Like, if you look at them, they turned it over 27. Like, you know, they were, what were they, minus 15 in turnover ratio? It'd be nice to, like, this would be nice if the defense could get the ball at the 35-yard line. Kyle said, let's go to the jugular. Let's get the ball to 35. Let's go in there and take a shot play right away. And let's put 7 on the board and turn this game around. Like, that hardly ever happened last year. Special teams put them in a deep hole a lot. Like, it'd be good if the defense took the ball away. That would help Brock Purdy more than anything. Yeah, get him extra at-bats. Get him good field position. Special teams, get him good field position. Those are the things that could help Brock Purdy out more than saying, okay, well, maybe I tried to do too much. That's just Brock answering a question. Like, I'm not picking on Albert Breer. But, like, you can't just go and say, man, know when the play's over. Get rid of the ball. Like, it's just too hard to say that series to series to series. Brock has great instincts, and he sees the field exceptionally well. And he throws the ball with good touch, and he knows how to layer throws in the middle of the field that Kyle demands. Like, I think he does everything at a really good level. Let him just keep playing. Like, it could help if the team around him was better. That would help Brock more than anything.
You know what that answer reminds me of is the Rams game in L.A. last year, where you had just a not great defensive situation going on that day. They just could not get stops in the second half. Brock had to run quite a bit that game. The offensive line protection could have been better. And again, there's the Ronnie Bell drop. We all remember the fun conversations, the very pleasant conversations we had about that on the morning roast. For those who don't remember, Bonte and Chasky screamed at each other about that one. We remember, but I don't know if all of our listeners remember that one.
I was checked out.
I was locked into the theater. I was just sitting. I was like the Steph Curry eating popcorn gif, just like watching these two just slug it out over like maybe the fourth reason why they lost that game. There's also that the punt they had at the end. Mitch Wisnowski punted it, and just awful punt coverage there to set the Rams up with a short field to get that easy game-winning field goal. Like, none of those things are on Brock. All those things are, if you know, you get some better offensive line protection, if guys are able to wrap up and make some tackles, if we could get some damn coverage on a freaking punt for once, you know, like if Ronnie Bell, if you could just have been literally any other receiver at that time instead of being who you were, the Niners win that game. And that was kind of it was early in the season. It was right after that ugly loss to the Vikings, which Brock had a pretty bad day in that one. You win that game against one of your division rivals. Division games are different. Maybe that creates a different tenor for the rest of the season. You're feeling, you know, a bit more positive about your situation instead of a bit more negative, because sometimes, you know, when a season starts to go off the rails, I kind of think it was that loss against the Rams and the subsequent loss to the Cardinals later on, a couple weeks later, that was when it became apparent, uh-oh, this season, something's off about this season. And it just dominoed effect from there, all from a game that went sideways, by and large, not because of Brock Purdy.
Well, and you look at that season, a couple wins and losses, as you're referencing right there, and you have a whole different outlook on it. But that's why the NFL is king, and that's why it dominates. It's the scarcity of said games. And we can pick this up on the other side, and I want to have the listeners' participation. 888-957-9570. How should we judge Brock Purdy this season? And it's a two-parter. How are we grading him? And how also, like, are you judging him by his peers? Are you judging him based off his last season? If you're just improving upon last season, are you judging him from his MVP caliber season, where he was a finalist for the MVP of the National Football League? Is that the bar that he needs to always reach? And can he reach that bar again? 888-957-9570 is the number. And as always, we are coming to you live from Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. It's Joe Spadoni alongside Sam Lubman filling in for Joe Shasky all week long, and it's brought to you by Honda of Vallejo.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California, and it's plain to see you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
Me and you? Cassie? Let's go. Oreo Cookie's a big fan. 888-957-9570.
Yes, hey. Spadoni's black.
Well, who knows? Ancestry.com. I got to look into it. Maybe. We'll see. By the way, you got to be locked in.
By the way.
There we go. Oh, I thought I had to read here. I don't. Yes, that's great. It's good news. We teased something heading into the break. We sure did. And we're going to get to it. The latest also on Juwan Jennings, Tim Kawakami.
Oh, there's an update?
There is an update.
Jennings jam.
Yeah, Jennings. We don't really have a Kuminga crisis one. Although I wish we could just...
I did make like a generic explosion eagle thing, Carter, if you want to find it.
Oh, we have.
There you go.
Just Jennings jam.
So this is Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, the latest. Sounds like there's still no resolution in the 49ers Juwan Jennings situation. I don't think either side has ruled out anything. I don't think either side is happy. Deadlines make deals, slash decisions, slash whatever.
Are you reading a Jennings update or a Jonathan Kuminga update?
There you go. That was Tim Kawakami and Juwan Jennings.
It's the same situation.
So,
sensation.
The latest on Juwan Jennings is there is no latest. We are now less than 2 weeks away from the start of week one of the regular season, where the 49ers will be up in Seattle. Will Juwan Jennings be there? I'm not sure.
It just isn't worth the trouble. Like, I don't mean to be like a jerk to Juwan here on this one, but just like, this is not worth it. I don't want the Niners to feel like they need to trade him, because they do need him. And I do think that would make the team worse if you trade him. But like, come on, at this point, like, nobody's winning this at this point. Like, what are we doing here? This juice is not worth the squeeze. Kyle Juszczyk.
Well, maybe it's worth it to Brock Purdy. Like, Brock Purdy wants his guy Juwan right back there, doesn't he?
Yeah, he probably wants him on the field so he can throw footballs to him.
I mean, who, like, we're talking about Brock Purdy right now, and like, how are we judging this season? Who do we compare him to? Do we compare or judge this season based on his, you know, MVP caliber season, based on last year, based on his peers? What is the proper criteria to judge Brock Purdy? And, you know, we were just joined by Baldy. You know, he seems to think it was more the team letting him down than Brock letting the team down, which I do think was the accurate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
A call there. That being said, I don't want to let Brock off the hook completely. I don't think he was like amazing last year. I don't think he was very good last year. I think a lot of people saying, I thought he was good. No. I saw a lot of faults from Brock Purdy last year, and hopefully he's improved upon them, and the team obviously improved upon them. But one of the things is the wide receiver core. And, you know, that rapport with Juwan Jennings that he built up, and it was great last year. Is that all out the window? Because it felt like all that rapport he built up with Brandon Ayuk kind of was left out the window because Ayuk missed the entirety of training camp.
Well, how much of that was just Brandon Ayuk really not being ready to go? Because as Baldy said, and I don't know if we have the cut ready yet. By the way, great job, guys in the back, flipping those cuts. Carter and Risotto, very much appreciate that.
Immediately. He's like, Sam Lovin back there, just saying, hey, guys, get out, get with it.
Well,
Hurry up.
There was once upon a time where that was Bonte Hill coming in screaming, hey, get me these seven cuts so I cannot play them. But
you hear that, Bonte? Sam Lovin throwing you under the bus, buddy.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a day that ends in Y. I love Bonte. I'm happy with Bonte Hill.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, it's, Baldy said, there's something to be said about getting hit in training camp, getting your hands right, getting your feet right, getting your eyes right. You're not going to, you don't have that with Juwan. You don't. And it's, we saw this happen with Brandon Ayuk last year, who is a better receiver than Juwan Jennings. If Brandon Ayuk's having a slow ramp up time, what, you think Juwan Jennings is just going to hit the ground running too? So the fact that the last line or the second to last line that Kalakami has in that tweet where just neither side is happy. Great. Like this gives me no joy for what this season's going to be. Like, I don't know how good the Niners are going to be. I'm not saying that Juwan Jennings on the field week one is going to be the difference between, you know, another 6-11 season or the Niners finding their way to the Super Bowl. But I want to have as complete a team as possible right now. And that includes Juwan Jennings being on the roster. So, like, let's go. Let's get some urgency. You know, it's time to eat. Let's go.
It's time to eat.
That's what Baldy says.
Yeah, Pearsall, Jennings, eventually Ayuk. Once, like, if that ends up being the core there, all of a sudden you're feeling pretty good about it. Now, what version of Ayuk are we getting? I don't know. Like, this whole thing, we're talking about Brandon Ayuk. We're talking about, you know, how can this offense all of a sudden from, like, the start of the season evolve throughout it and Ayuk being a part of that. I'm going into the season, quite frankly, if you get anything from Ayuk, it's a bonus. But I'm not expecting Ayuk to just all of a sudden be the savior that I think a lot of Niner fans are, like, probably feeling like, man, if we had Pearsall, and then we already have Kittle, and then Jennings is back into form, and then you add Ayuk. See, I'm not doing that, and then you add Ayuk. If you get anything from Ayuk, great. It's putting a lot on a guy that, let's be honest.
His entire knee was disintegrated.
Shredded.
Yeah. It might as well have just not as existed. It was just goo down there.
Exactly.
Not
so
guru,
like, and it's been a tough rehab process for him. He's acknowledged that. Like, it's been a tough thing to go through. And yeah, Have people recovered from ACLs and MCLs and they've gone back and gone pretty good? Yes. But again, that's other people. I'm just viewing this through the lens of the Brandon Ayuk. It's unfair to me to automatically say that when we talk about the soft tissue injuries, they're like, hey, Adrian Peterson did it, so anyone can. We've come a long way through this. Like, that's a little unfair. Science. Everyone is different in how they recover. Let's take a step back.
But again, there is something to say about the fact that rehab from these injuries is better. So that does give me more optimism that Ayuk should be able to. I don't know if he'll ever be pre-injury Brandon Ayuk. That remains to be seen. That's not saying it's not impossible, but yeah, to suggest that when Brandon Ayuk hits the field week 7, it's all systems go. Let's you know, have him 100, you know, yard game right off the bat. No, that might be a bit much to ask for, but this is where if you can have Juwan Jennings clicking at that time, you can, in a sense, ease Brandon Ayuk in because you still have some great pass catchers in Ricky and George and DeMarcus Robinson, hopefully Juwan Jennings. So Brandon Ayuk is kind of your, more or less, your fifth option out the gate to start his season fresh off that injury. And then maybe a few weeks down the line, he's rising up the targets ladder. And by the last 3, 4, maybe 5 games of the year, if you want to get really greedy, maybe he is kind of finally easing back into that level we saw from him back in 23 when he was the Niners' number one receiver. He was starting to kind of come around last year before the injury, too. I mean, he had a great game. I believe it was that Rams game. Mm. He had, I think, close to 150 yards in that one. So he was showing signs of being that dude last year before it all went kaput. He's basically have to start over from scratch again this year, and that sucks.
So we've had not one but two people join our airwaves now, and two former players that have said this, that, you know, it's on Purdy to elevate the roster. It's on the quarterback to elevate the wide receiver core. That's what Baldy told us this past segment, Sam. He said, it's up to Purdy to do that. This is Kirk Morrison, former linebacker, Bay Area legend, former Raider. We love Kirk Morrison, and they had him. Was it Willard and Dibbs had him on? Willard and Dibbs had him on the other week during a preseason game, too, because they played the Raiders, obviously, and Kirk now doing some Raider broadcasting on the radio side there. This is Kirk Morrison on Brock Purdy, again, former NFL linebacker, talking about Purdy needing to elevate the roster.
Gone is Debo, and I don't know if 49er fans are going to miss him or not. We'll see. You know, obviously, Brandon Ayuk is going to be banged up for the early part of the season. We'll see what's about Juwan Jennings. But George Kittle and obviously Christian McCaffrey are going to have to be huge. Ricky Pearsall, hey, sorry, buddy, year two, you got to handle it. So Brock Purdy has to elevate the roster. That's what I think I'm kind of getting to, is that when you pay a quarterback that kind of money, you have to elevate the rest of the roster. Now, it doesn't matter, right? We've seen Patrick Mahomes do it. We've seen, obviously, Josh Allen has done it last year when, you know, they trade away Stephon Diggs and all that. So with all this roster reconstruction, Brock Purdy has to show that you can win a Super Bowl on my back and on my arm. I can do that. I believe that he can. Now, it just depends on just how healthy this team is going to be. And can they get through a full season, unlike what we saw last year, where it went bad. It went sideways pretty quickly at the end.
All right. So there's one guy saying, hey, it's got to elevate around him. I don't want any excuses. I see all these guys. I see the Josh Allens of the world elevating lesser talent around him. It's up to you, Brock. You got the contract. You have to elevate this quote-unquote lesser talent around you. Now, I say lesser talent, it's not really fair. I mean, you got a first ballot Hall of Famer, I believe, in George Kittle on your roster right now. Tight end, guy's going to help a lot of quarterbacks out in this league.
Talent, yeah.
If George Kittle's on the market right now, every single team out there, all the other teams are taking him and starting him immediately. Mm-hmm. That's how good he is. Ricky Pearsall, big fat question mark. I don't know what to make of Ricky. I like that preseason game 2 action when it was Brock Purdy on that first drive throwing it to Ricky, converting third down after third down. That was nice to see, the Purdy-Pearsall connection. Let's see it. I saw the connection last year with Juwan Jennings. Made me optimistic. I've seen it at its height in that NFC Championship game with Brandon Ayuk. He was a second team All-Pro with Brock Purdy. I've seen it. I know Brock Purdy could elevate talent around him. Did he not elevate, as a reference right there, my guy Brandon Ayuk to be second team All-Pro? That was his best season in the NFL with who? Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. He's elevated Juwan Jennings to have his best season ever as a pro.
And that was with less stuff around him, too. Juwan Jennings was the focal point of the offense. He was still finding out ways to get the ball to him.
George Kittle, if it wasn't a career year, it was second in career year. One of his best seasons as a professional last year with who? Brock Purdy. He can do that. I've seen it done. Now you're adding Christian McCaffrey back onto this roster and adding Brian Robinson. I'm a lot more optimistic, I think, than a lot of other Niner fans are about this offense going forward.
Yeah. No, I think it's there. I absolutely agree with you there. When we kind of look at, you know, what happened last year, how much of that 6-11 season was put on Brock Purdy versus wasn't. And I know Greg Cosell talked about this last week with Willard and Dibbs. I don't know if we want to get that on there as well. Yeah, let's just play what Cosell said there, because I do like Brock wasn't the reason the Niners were 6-11. Obviously, he played a role in it, but I'm kind of curious when we look back in hindsight where we're at there. But let's hear what Greg Cosell has to say about that.
Our 95.7 The Game NFL insider who joins Willard and Dibbs weekly, Greg Cosell, on the tape showing that Purdy actually had a good year.
During the season, I can't watch, you know, 250 dropbacks in a row of a quarterback. You know, I have to each week watch games, you know, as many as I can. But in the off season, I can watch 250 dropbacks over a 2 or 3 day period. And I got to tell you, I came away thinking that Purdy's really good. Now, I thought there were times he left the pocket too soon, and I thought that was one of the things that at times, you know, he struggled with last year. But overall, I mean, to me, as a post-snap operator, in other words, when the ball snapped and it's in his hands, I think he's an outstanding post-snap operator. He sees the field intuitively. I think he's an elite processor. I think he creates timing and anticipation throws based on his immediate understanding of what he sees, and that allows him to throw with precise timing. I came away after watching everything about him that he's a really, really good quarterback who truly understands how to play the position at the NFL level.
So he really kind of focuses there on the instincts there. When he does leave the pocket, he was leaving the pocket a little bit too early. Shout out poor offensive line protection. But again, he does lean on the instincts or what separates Brock here. But then, so clearly Brock has the ability to elevate receivers, but to a degree, because then you contrast it with what Baldy just told us on some guys need to step up too. The defense needs to get the other team off the field every now and then. Special teams, can we make a play? Wide receivers, can we not drop the ball? So I'm kind of curious where the line is or where the line will be this year in terms of this is Brock's responsibility versus you did everything you could have here, but someone else did not do their job, and that is why this team lost. I think Cosell said later on that, you know, Brock wasn't the reason why the 49ers were 6-11 last year. Do we have that one ready to go as well that we could play, or do we still need to go
Greg Cosell, what are we doing?
Was it Greg Cosell? Purdy wasn't the reason the 49ers were 6-11 last year. It's very hard to throw the sound from this chair.
Well, yeah, that's why, you know, that's usually I do. I have the sound right here, Sammy, so I play it. So thank you for being my teammate
here. We're trying to rigmarole the sound
here. It's okay. But no, I have it all in front of me. It's okay. We'll get to it when we get to the sound. Here's Greg Cosell talking about Mahomes having certain deficiency, just like Brock Purdy and other quarterbacks.
There's a lot of different elements to playing quarterback, okay? I can tell you right now, here, I'll tell you this. I'm not going to tell you who told me, but a defensive coordinator in the league told me this, who's very highly respected, and he said, you know, Patrick Mahomes is not a very good progression reader. Okay, that's a coordinator that's played against him. So people listening to that might go, you're crazy, you know, it's Patrick Mahomes. You know, people have different strengths. Is Brock Purdy going to do what Josh Allen can do? Is Brock Purdy going to put a team on his back and win a Super Bowl, quote unquote, by himself? Of course, no one does it by yourself, no matter who you are. But you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
You know, is he that kind of player? No. So some people might think then he's not in the top five. That makes him in the top 10 or 12 or 15, whatever list they want to choose. But when it comes to the subtleties and the nuances and the understanding of how to play the position, Brock Purdy is high level. Does he have a rocket arm? No. Is he the most athletic quarterback in the league? No. But he understands intuitively and innately how to play the quarterback position. You know, look, you guys, I'm sure, have talked ad nauseum going back to last year and probably through the summer about why the Niners were 6-11. And there's many reasons for that. And it's not just Brock Purdy. In fact, he'd probably be one of the least important reasons.
One of the least important reasons there, which was interesting. You got Greg Cosell.
I don't disagree with that.
888-957-9570 is the number. We got Samita in Los Gatos that wants to join in the conversation in regards to Brock Purdy and just why we're talking about the quarterback this way, because his career is just so unique in that he was the last pick in the draft. He was the third guy behind Trey and Jimmy, gets thrust in there, and all he had known his first couple seasons was success, getting to an NFC championship game, getting to a Super Bowl, being an overtime period away from winning said Super Bowl. And then adversity hit last year. And now we're all taking a step back and saying, all right, where does this guy rank? Is he top five? Is he top 10? What is? And he said something there, Greg Cosell did, I want to get to after we get to Samita and Los Gatos. He said the word subtlety. Subtlety is not sexy when it comes to being a quarterback. I'll tell you what is sexy and why that gets the gossip, not what Brock Purdy does. Samita, good morning. You're on the morning roast.
Morning, guys. I just want to play it bold.
Hey, Samita, give us a call back. You're cutting in and out there, your connection. It's okay. We'll power through it, just like the 49ers connection last year. It was very iffy at times, and it didn't land.
It's up to Brock to elevate that connection.
It's up, he's got to. You know, he's got to get Xfinity, right? Yeah. There you go. Shout out to Fast Five. He's got to get that Xfinity internet. High speed, high powered, baby.
Come up in right? An hour and 2 minutes.
That's a tease right there, an hour and 2 minute tease.
Love but, teasing Fast Five.
But Cosell did say something there that, hey, what Mahomes does, the improvisation, it's not what you teach. It's actually what the coordinators don't want you to do. He probably does that too much. He doesn't read the progressions, like as an offensive coordinator said, as well as other quarterbacks. But you know what Mahomes does do well? He has an innate feel for the game. He's playing backyard football out there, and you want that guy as your quarterback. Yeah. I fear that man with the game on the line. Everyone does. Niner fan, Eagles fans, Raider fans. Everyone fears Patrick Mahomes.
You do not
Mahomes.
Want the ball in his hand at the end of the game.
And do you care who's out there? Do you care who's out there?
Honestly, you and I could be lining up out there.
And he'll find a way.
Exactly.
Right? Just like we found a way to get Samita and Los Gatos back.
Let's
Samita,
go.
Good morning.
There is a will.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. So I just wanted to make a comment about Brock Purdy. I agree that he is a good quarterback. I do not agree that he is a great quarterback. And when you have a good quarterback, but not a great quarterback, you need the rest of the team to be firing on all cylinders. Now, can he say, I don't know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Maybe he's still pretty young. He's still pretty new. I think he's got the smarts to figure things out, but the question is, does he have that X factor to win a game when it's all on the line and he's got to put the team on his shoulders, on his back, and make it happen? Can he do that? And my fear is, I'm really not so sure, because this team is not cohesive with these off-season holdouts, contract issues, etc. at the end of the day, training camp is immensely important. And the fact that, you know, you've got a couple of key guys in the last couple of years, guys who need to catch the ball for you, if they're holding out, they're missing out on training camp, the vibe is not quite there, that is going to bleed into the regular season. And I think I'm concerned about the 49er season this year because of these issues. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Amita. Well, that's interesting. Let's dive into that, because I told you why you shouldn't be concerned. We got Christian McCaffrey back. We just added Brian Robinson Jr. We got George Kittle, one of the best tight ends in all the sport.
We have
Trent Williams. Hold on. We got Trent Williams, left tackle, first ballot Hall of Famer. He's been there through training camp. I know he's done the joint practices, and he hasn't done the games, but that's fine. We have Nick Bosa.
Is it though?
Yes, we have Nick Bosa. Trent Williams had a down year last year and was still top 10 by all the metrics. He's fine. I'm not worried about Trent Williams. Fred Warner, best linebacker in the game. Again, as I mentioned, Nick Bosa, top 5 defensive end in the game. Deion Lenore, one of the best rising young corners in the game. Sure. Am I worried about the depth of the D-line? Absolutely. Am I worried about the secondary? Yeah. Who's running mates with Fred Warner this year? Is it D-winners? Okay. Let's see it. But most teams would kill to have all of those players starting for their franchises. Outside of a handful of others, like, there are few teams as well equipped as the 49ers this year when it comes to just pillars of the organization. Those are all pillars of the organization, as I just referenced. There's a lot of team, hell, 15 other teams right there that can't name 5 players better than I just did. They just can't. They can't. And the 49ers have those guys. So why aren't we viewing the team through that lens? We just keep going to the deficiencies where we should be focusing on the efficiencies, if you will.
Ooh, I like that. I mean, is it simply put just because we feel like the drop-off from the star players to everyone else is just that precipitous? Like, I do agree with you. I mean, you look at the offensive line, I feel very good about the starting 5. You can go to a 6 if you want to throw Connor Colby in there.
I like that they're bringing back the same people, Sam. Like, yeah. Continuity matters
except for Colton McKibbitz.
I know. Well, sure, but like, continuity matters, hopefully. Yes.
Yeah. But no, again, you do have some guys who will hopefully help out Colton McKibbitz on that line there. So the defensive line, obviously, that's a question there. But then that gets onto the defensive side of the ball where Brock can't do anything about that. So when we talk about, you know, the faith that we have in Brock being able to elevate this team, he only elevate one half of the roster. He can't elevate Fred Warner. He can't elevate Nick Bosa. He can't elevate Diamador Lenore. That's on those guys on the other side of the ball to kind of elevate themselves. So I think we're so recency biased that we saw how things look when everything fell apart around Brock. And there's this belief that this unfair belief that I think we put out last year that if he was Mahomes or Josh Allen, then that team still would have been, you know, playoff bound going towards a Super Bowl. And I think that, I don't know why we do this. I don't know why we talk ourselves into believing that things aren't as good as they are. It just, we love to be negative as a society. That's what the NFL stands for, the Negative Football League. It's not the nuance anymore.
I like that.
But maybe is it that simple? I don't know. Maybe there's a level of irrationality to it in that situation.
888-957-9570. How are we viewing Purdy heading into this season, Niner fans? What are you judging Purdy most by? Is it the touchdown to interception ratio? Is it amongst his peers? What's the most important part of Purdy that you're looking forward to this season, Niner fans? Let's go to Steve in San Ramon, wants to join the conversation. What's up, Steve?
How you doing? Enjoy your guys' show, and I got to listen to KMBR, listen to you guys, and this whole Purdy conversation, it just cracks me up because it's like when Purdy first came on the scene, it's like, well, we haven't seen him do this. Well, can he bring a team back? Can he win here? Everybody's saying, can he put a team on his back? It's like you said, recency bias. You take away the starting running back, the starting receiver, and the starting left tackle off any team, you tell me how great the quarterback is or their offensive production. I don't know what fans need to see. Did we not see Purdy in both the Green Bay game and the Detroit game when the Niners are getting their asses kicked and down by a lot, bring them back and win both those games and take him to a Super Bowl?
Those things did happen.
And he did it with his legs. He did it with his arm. And then in the Super Bowl, they had the lead in the fourth quarter. He gave him a lead in the Super Bowl. If the right guard makes the block, we score a touchdown in the Super Bowl, we maybe win the game. So I don't know what fans need to see. The guy is everything you want in your starting quarterback in Shanahan's system, and they're fine. I have no worries about Purdy whatsoever. He proved to me everything he needed to do in that season they went to the Super Bowl. I don't know what fans are looking for.
I'm right there with you. Thanks, and you bring up, Steve, a great point that I kind of brought up earlier in the show, and maybe we can kind of dive into this now a little bit as we talk about how we're going to judge Brock Purdy this year. I do wonder, at what point does Brock need to stop proving himself? Like, I'm kind of curious where how many Niner fans are in the same boat as Steve, where he's shown you everything that you need to see. All right, we're good to go here. Clearly the Niners, they don't think he needs to prove anything anymore. They've thrown the bag at him. You could say that they were kind of forced to or what have you, and maybe that's a sign that he still has something that has to be proven to or towards you. So I am kind of curious, what will it take for any of the Brock doubters out there, whatever your level of doubt is on Brock Purdy, what is it going to take for him to get to a position where you're just like, you know what? Brock's under center. We're set. Or does he ever get to that point? I mean, is he ever going to have that he's proved it level to the same level that maybe Patrick Mahomes has, even though that Mahomes has certain deficiencies that Brock doesn't? What is it going to take for us to just finally accept that this guy's good enough to get you to a Super Bowl and even put you in a position to win it, which I think is the bare minimum you want from a championship caliber quarterback? Can you get us in position to win the damn game?
It's interesting with Brock because I do feel like whenever he is in the playoffs, he is looked at as the lesser quarterback in any matchup. And KC, Matt, Devon in the Uber, we'll get to all of you in just a second. But that's why people continue to doubt him. Whenever a quarterback matchup is, and that's what we do, that's what you look at, and you give the edge to the certain team just based off the quarterback sometimes, right? And whenever it's the playoffs, you know, it's him or Jalen Hurts. Well, which one are you taking? Well, probably this right now, I'm probably taking Jalen Hurts over
Brock. That's the recency bias.
That's the recency bias. But also, Jalen's also been to two Super Bowls, and Jalen also balled out in both those Super Bowls. I'm a big Jalen Hurts defender. I think he gets, just like we're way too hard on Brock, I think we're way too hard on Jalen. That's just the society we live in. We're hard on everyone, right? No one's happy. Again, negative football league.
One is happy football league. That's what it is.
So that's what we do. If he's going up against, you know, the Chargers, right? Let's just say it's Justin Herbert. Oh, I'm taking Justin Herbert over Brock Purdy. Really?
Arm strength.
Really?
When I see him throw that ball.
I don't know. Like, is it a shoo-in that if Justin Herbert was the San Francisco 49ers quarterback this year, we would view them totally different?
Is it really as just black and white as just because man throw ball far, man better at QB than Brock Purdy?
It's always going to go back to the draft. And how long did it take Tom freaking Brady to finally, you know, put all the draft like, oh, he's just a product of the system. It's a defensive team. It's Bill Belichick. How long did it take for him to put all of that away?
That first Super Bowl, I think.
No, I also, honestly, Sam, he won three Super Bowls, and I don't think it was till that season with Randy Moss when they were undefeated and almost had to go all the way against the New York Giants. And that season he had, which was incredible, he had to show his arm off with Randy Moss. And even then, Carter and Sam, what were they saying? Oh, it was Randy Moss. I mean, anyone could do that with Randy Moss.
I mean, yeah, basically, I could have thrown 50 touchdown passes with Randy Moss that year.
And maybe it even took that, this sounds ridiculous, that fourth Super Bowl win. Oh, you know what? Maybe we could talk about him with Joe Montana. Again, is Brock Purdy on Tom Brady's level into the GOAT talks? No, it's not. It's not on that level. But again, it's just, this is what we do, and this is why I love and this is why I hate football, because quarterback conversation is just on crack. It is. It is on crack right now. It used to be a type 1 drug, but now it's a type 10 drug, the quarterback conversation. It is. I'm sorry. It is. Let's go to Matt in the city. He wants to join in the Purdy situation. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Going pretty good.
So the last caller stole a little bit of my thunder here because, I wanted to touch on the Kenny put us on his back thing. The only thing that stopped Brock Purdy so far are a torn elbow ligament and the entire team getting injured out last year. When Brock has a healthy team, he's put us on his back every time he's been asked to, including twice in his first playoff runs, if you don't count the injured game in the NFC Championship. And then, does no one remember Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, that guy
rings
got the bag after five meaningless wins. They act like he's the second coming of Joe Montana, and then we suffer through mediocrity, limp arm, interceptions in the playoffs. Just, you know, the Kansas City Super Bowl, the last play of the game, where he just sort of fumbles all over himself and flops on the ground and flails it into the air. You're just like, this is our guy. And now we got this young quarterback with the most poised, cool composure, nothing rattles him, team leader. He's everything you want. He's proved it. We pay him. And now our fan base wants to ask questions. Was it just Jimmy's dimples and all the female fans just loved it, or what?
Well, he is handsome, so Matt. I mean, those Travis Matthew ads, I mean, just look at the guy. I mean, I'm jealous. I got body envy, but I appreciate the call. And by the way, Football Talk on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. As you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM, NHG1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. This Brock Purdy conversation has been dominating. We got almost full phone lines. A couple of them are open if you want to join in the conversation. 888-957-9570 is the number. What does Brock Purdy have to prove still? Is it just ultimately?
I kind of am thinking that too. Like, for those who aren't still, who feel like, yeah, he hasn't proven enough, or he's proven some, or he's proven nothing, I want to hear from the people who still feel like Brock needs to prove something to him, because I'm kind of in the boat of a lot of these callers so far. I think he's proven that he could do the job. Like, he got you to the doorstep. You fell short for reasons that weren't his fault. So, again, Brock Purdy, not even the top 10 reasons why the Niners did not win that Super Bowl in Las Vegas a couple years ago. I don't think he's a top 5 reason why the Niners were 6-11 last year. We keep wanting to, again, there he is, the quarterback. He does shoulder more responsibility just because it's that position there. But realistically speaking, Brock Purdy has proven that he is far more of an asset to this team when it comes to winning, and is very, very rarely a liability out on the field.
I'll say this: when it comes to the Super Bowl, I do think he skates by a little bit with that performance. He wasn't very good. He did not do enough to win that game. He didn't lose the game, Sam. He didn't do enough to win the game, though. So, and that's the difference between winning a Super Bowl and losing a Super Bowl. So, you need to do just enough to win it, and Brock didn't do enough to win that game. He didn't. You could argue and throw back, oh, well, if Jake Moody does this, well, if he doesn't do this, if Nick Bosa stops him there. There's always ifs and buts. I just think he skates by a little bit. I was not impressed by that Super Bowl performance.
No, and that's totally fair. I think it's a very fair point to point out there. And so I guess, does that kind of go into how we're going to look at it this year? You mentioned a good point there. He wasn't good enough to win it, but he wasn't bad enough to lose it.
It was kind of a eh.
So if that's the situation this year, if we're seeing a lot of these games where Brock played well enough where it's not his fault they lost it, but there was still more that he could have done to maybe help them win it, that's going to be problematic, I think, this year. And I think when we're coming to judging Brock Purdy this year, now that he's gotten paid, Baldy said it, players get paid, they get judged differently. You know, he's going to get put through the meat grinder a little bit more when he's just good enough to get the job done. And that kind of goes into some of the games I highlighted from last year. I think one I would point out is that Cardinals game that took place when it was, you know, 5,000 degrees down at Levi's. You know, I mentioned the stalled fourth and long he had in the third quarter that was a wasted scoring opportunity. They score there. Maybe the fourth quarter plays out a little bit differently. Maybe that Jordan Mason fumble isn't as costly as it ended up being. Yeah, I think that's fair to kind of change the judgment process of Brock Purdy this year to be a little bit more scrutiny. I agree with that, but that still makes me feel like I still trust him, though.
888-957-9570 is the number. Devon is in the Uber, wants to join in the conversation. I see it's almost full phone lines. People are fired up. Brock, I'm telling you, man, the Brock Purdy talk this year is going to be fascinating.
I want to know what people still need to see to be proven by him. So 888-957-9570.
People think we're crowning him still. People think he's fine. You can't say anything about him. Again,
we are allowed to criticize
him. I told you, Sam, there's no room for nuance. It's either he's the greatest or he sucks. There's no in between.
And today we are going to find the answer.
I know who's great, though. It's Devon of the Uber. What's up, Devon?
Hey, way to plug that there. How you gentlemen doing?
What's up, brother? How we doing, man?
Hey, pretty good, man. I want to start off by saying, you know, I'm just a pure football fan, and I'm a fan of greatness and people striving to it. So there's definitely no hate for the Brock train. I'm actually a supporter. I think that Brock is a good quarterback, and I think he's rated as a good quarterback, and I think that sets some people off. Like, people want him to be rated as more than just a good quarterback. And so I don't think he's the only quarterback that's asked, you know, or has expectations. Like C.J. Stroud, they're wondering, you know, was that a slump? Can he get back to where he's at? Bryce Young, like everybody, they kind of do that to everybody. So I don't like that people feel like it's only Brock. Another thing with Brock that personally I do want to see, because people would like to say he's a great quarterback, right? And so I look at other great quarterbacks and I say they've been able to do more with less. I hate the argument people say, like the other guy said it earlier, where, oh, you know, we've had injuries. If you remove our starting running back and this starter and this starter, and it's like, it's not just, like, there's context. It's not just having a starting running back. You got the best running back in the league. You got the best left tackle in the league. You know, you got a top receiving core in the league. You know, you have one of the best tight ends in the league. So when you have the shiniest tools, you know, in the shed, and those go down, okay, yeah, people want to see what you could do without them, because majority, almost a majority, but a lot of quarterbacks don't have the shiny stuff. I'm a Raider fan. When we lose a running back, it's over. You say, yeah, oh, yeah, please pray for me, man.
Kenny Pickett.
Oh, man, that's another story. But it's like, you feel me? Like, when a lot of teams, we can't afford to lose it, you know? And so the fact that it's not that you guys can't either, but people want to see him be able to do more with less, because when you're a big guy and you're making a big purse, you have to, right? And so hopefully Brock can get it together. Again, I'm not a hater. Hopefully he can get it together. But I think he's a good quarterback. Personally, I got him in the 11 to 13 range, wherever you want to place. And I do want to say this. Justin Herbert is super overrated, man. Good quarterback, but he's overrated. Love you guys.
Thank you. That's Devon in the Uber.
Thank you very much, Devon.
Take from a measured Raider fans. By the way, I like to just throw this one out there, because that's what we've come to the top of the pyramid, if you will, when it comes to this conversation. Is it a Brock isn't good enough issue, or is it fans can't have a category of quote unquote great quarterbacks or good quarterbacks that are under the Elite Four? We bestow great to three or four guys. Now, I'd argue Mahomes is the guy. As we're doing like a pyramid scheme here, he is S tier. No one is touching Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. I gave the same respect to Tom Brady up until he retired. You're not touching that man.
There's always a number one QB in the league.
He tried to go for a three-peat last year, people. And now we're like saying like they're cooked.
Oh, it's over for him. Yeah, pack it in.
The Chiefs are fine, by the way.
Their offense might even be better this year. And their defense is still really good. So for those who are rooting for the Chiefs' demise, yeah, you're going to be angry.
Patrick Mahomes. And then if you want to do Lamar, Allen, Burrow, I think that's where most people are.
Yep.
Everything after that, people like to debate. Can we all agree on that first?
I agree. I think Jalen Hurts and Matt Stafford are in that gray area that you go between your Elite Four and everybody else, where I do think that they're held in higher regard than the quarterbacks below them, but no one's putting them in the category of those four above them. But after that, though, it's a big jumble of who knows and what's up.
And let me use this term instead. So the big four, we'll say that's the Elite Four.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone after that is either great or good or average, but they all get jumbled up.
Well, that's
what we're seeing with the CJ Strouds. Oh, this year, I mean, his first two seasons in the NFL, the guy goes to the playoffs, wins playoff games, and all of a sudden, oh, well, I don't know. He lost Tank Dell. He lost Stephon Diggs. He's been pretty freaking good his first 2 years, people. Now it's, oh, Jaden Daniels, he's just in the NFC Championship, right? He's kind of how we're reviewing CJ Stroud last year. Oh, we'll do it again now, Jaden. Oh, but he's great. He's number six right now. Hey, if he has another season, maybe he's going to be elite. See, it's just so fascinating how we do these things, where I'd argue it's the guy that's won the Super Bowls. And Matt Stafford's a part of this conversation, too. We like to forget about Matt Stafford. I do it. I forget about Matt Stafford. The guy's dealing with a back injury. He's 37 years old. He's old. He's old. Sorry. Like it. And I love football so much. And it sounds like I'm frustrated. I'm actually not. It's how we talk about it as the sport.
The National Frustration League.
It's Brock, and we're going to continue to do it as a fan base when it comes to this guy. Just because he's not in those big four doesn't mean he's a scrub. It's okay. Like, and it doesn't mean, you know, he's not on the same level at times as a Jaden Daniels or a CJ Stroud or some of these young guys or Justin Herbert, if everyone wants to go Justin Herbert. It's okay. That's all right.
And that's the thing, though. I don't think a lot of people think that is okay. There's this belief that when you get to the big game, the quarterback has to be the reason why you win. And the guy I look at, Eli Manning, was he ever one of the truly elite quarterbacks in the NFL?
Never.
No.
Ever.
Was he ever a top five quarterback?
No.
Yeah, there was times where he was maybe in the 8 to 10 range, if you really want to be generous. And yet he still won 2 Super Bowls. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame because of it, not a first ballot. And he's looked at as one of the great quarterbacks of all time. Yet both of those Super Bowl wins, he was not the only reason why they won those Super Bowls. You had a couple fluky plays in there, but you had a great defensive showing in Super Bowl 42. And you had, you know, a Patriots defense in Super Bowl 46 that was just really not very good, that, you know, made a lot easier to kind of cut down the field in that Super Bowl in Indy. But yeah, Eli Manning was not the sole reason why. Does that change the perception of Eli Manning at all? No, at all. It's just, you do not, there's this belief that you need to have an elite quarterback only in order to win a Super Bowl. It certainly helps. It's, no one's ever going to be like, yeah, I'm not picking them, their quarterback's too elite. You're never going to have a situation like that. But it doesn't disqualify you, and maybe that's where the frustration comes from, is that maybe there's just a segment of fans who just, if someone outside the quarterback has to be responsible for your team winning, then that's just not good enough. And I just frankly disagree with that line of thinking.
There is a great myth that we like to perpetuate every year when it comes to the NFL, and we're up against it. And James, Damon, and TC, I see you. We'll get to you on the other side. 888-957-9570.
High level loser, bro.
It's the myth of parity. There is no parity in the NFL. It's the haves and the have-nots, and it's either you have the best quarterback or you have the best collection of talent on the team, and that's what you're doing. It's Tom Brady winning them this century. It's Tom Brady. It's Ben Roethlisberger. It's Eli Manning. It's Peyton Manning. It's Patrick Mahomes. And then a handful of other guys.
Breeze, Rodgers.
One and done, as I call them. Breeze, yeah. Rodgers, Foles. Right.
Brad
now
Johnson.
Jalen Hurts. Exactly. It's the either you're going to be the outlier, right? And that's what the Niners are trying to be, the outlier with Purdy or Garoppolo. Or you have the elite Hall of Fame guys.
What's interesting, you know what, we'll get
on the other side. We'll get to it. 888-957-9570. And that's what's coming up. The game brought to you by Frontier Ford. Mach-E lease specials are on, and Tesla owners score even more at Frontier Ford. Lease a 2025 Mach-E Select for just $239 a month, plus tax, $1,999 at signing, and save even more with your Tesla. Offer ends September 2nd at Frontier Ford in Santa Clara.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.